preacher and this and that. But when I came down here with the suit and tie on and that summer day it was about 95 degrees, I said, oh, Lord, I'm going to burn up. But and then Brother Kent said, hey, man, you don't have to dress up to come down here. You know, we dress down. And I said, well, you know, but I'm taught from a pastor that says every time you stand behind this pulpit, you have a suit and a tie on. But I said, that don't represent me as a child of God. That's just an image that man want us to portray for it. So I thank God for the opportunity to come down here, and I take it not for granted, because without God, I'm nothing. I'm like a ship without a sail. And because of him, I'm here today, and he's done something in my life that I can let other people see that it's able to be done in anybody's life, because we serve a God that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or thank him, but it's according to the power that worketh within you. So at this time, I'm going to have a brief word of prayer, and then I'm going to get into the word and get out the way. Amen? Amen. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus, oh God, I just come today thanking you for your goodness and your grace. Oh God, that you're such a merciful God. You're a God that sits high and look low. But God, you know everything about us, God. And God, you have brought us here, this place, that we may dwell together in brotherly love, that you would get the glory and the praise. As I decrease and your Holy Spirit increase, God, have your way this day, God. Let your word speak life, God, that we may walk thereby, that we will honor you in this wicked world, God, that we live in. But God, we can stand as children of light and not of darkness. God, have your way this day, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. I want to start out in 1 Corinthians chapter 6. On about the ninth verse. 1 Corinthians 6 and 9. It says, know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkard, nor reviler, nor extortioner shall inherit the kingdom of God. And such were some of you, but ye are washed, but ye are sanctified, but ye are justified, in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. All things are lawful unto me, but all things are not expedient. All things are lawful for me, but I will not be bought. I will not be bought under the power of any. Meat for the belly and the belly for meat. But God shall destroy both it and them. Now the body is not for fornication, but for the Lord, and the Lord for the body. And God has both raised up the Lord, and will also raise up us by his own power. Know ye not that your bodies are the members of Christ? Shall I then take the members of Christ and make them the members of an harlot? God forbid. What? Know ye not that he which is joined to a harlot is in one body? What? Know ye not that he which is joined to a harlot is one body? For two said, he shall be one flesh. But he that is joined unto the Lord is one spirit. Flee fornication. Every sin that a man doeth is without the body. But he that committeth fornication sinneth against his own body. What? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own, for ye are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body in your spirit, which are God's. I want to look at the 19th and the 20th verse. But know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own, for ye are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God. As a topic, I want to say, remember who you are. Because I'm running into a lot of people that don't know who they are. They say they saved, they sanctified, and filled with the Holy Ghost. But I'm finding out they don't even know who God is. But they're claiming to be in the family of God. They're in churches. They're doing certain things in the churches. They're musicians. They this, they that. And they're saying this, and I'm saying, but I don't see the image of God in them. And I'm not talking about the clothes they're wearing. I'm talking about the way that they present themselves as a Christian. The Bible says you have been bought with the price. Your body don't belong to you anymore. And I ran into a couple young men yesterday. And what threw me off on them was I seen a style that came from, I guess you can say Africa or somewhere, or Egypt, whatever. But they just didn't have an earring in their ear. They had a blue circle. And it was, and I said, I can see through that thing, man. What is that? He said, what? There ain't nothing, man. I said, wait a minute, man. You got both ears. And I mean, them holes was about, I mean, clear. You could see straight through it. And it had the little blue circle in it. And I was about almost the size of a dime. I said, man, them some big holes, man. Anytime I can look straight through them and see the other side of this, where behind you. And I said, she got tattoos from this side of the body, down that side of the body. And I mean, you say, didn't you tell me you were saved? And I'm saying, now, you know, what you do before you get saved is one thing. But after you have gotten saved is another. And I knew this one of these young fellas before this happened. I knew him since he was a little kid. And I looked, I said, now, I'm troubled here because I kind of got offended. But then God had to remind me who I was. He said, your job is not to be an offense to nobody. Your job is to just sound the trumpet and get out the way. You're not supposed to judge this young man. I said, but God, I'm a fruit inspector. If you say you save, he said, but you're a fruit inspector, but you're not God. I said, amen. And I told the young fellow, I said, you know what? I'm not God. But I'm just trying to put this in the house of what God is about. And I'm saying it's not matching up. Because he said, your body don't belong to you no more. You can't defile the temple of God. And I'm finding out that the temple of God is being defiled on a regular basis from what people say, but not what God is saying, because you can't defile the temple of God. If you're in Christ, you're not defiled. You have to get out, to mess up and get out of that and do that. But I want you to look at First Corinthians 6, 9 through 18. There is so much in that scripture. It tells us what not to be, what not to do. He said, but that's what we were beforehand. But now we are no longer that. Why? Because we have been washed. We have been sanctified. We've been set apart, meet for the master's use. We've been set apart to do God's work, not to do our work and look like the world. Because see, that's the problem. People don't know what the real world looks like. Because the church has looked so much like the world today that you're saying, wow. It's no change. Only thing it is, I come to church now, but I'm still doing the same thing I was doing before I came to church. But he said, you're justified. by the Spirit of God. He said, all things are lawful, but not I'm not going to let nothing bring me down to the bondage of that sin again. And so many times I'm finding out that a lot of people are not saved. They're saying it, but they're not. It's one thing to be saved and another thing to say you're saved when you're not saved. And your life is going to show that. Over in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 19 through 22, it says, now therefore ye are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God, and are built upon the foundation of the apostle and prophet Jesus Christ himself, being the chief cornerstone, in whom all the building fitly framed together groweth into a holy temple in the Lord, of whom ye are and also are building together for an habitation of God through the Spirit. And I said, we have to remember who we are. We were adopted into this body of Christ. We were chosen by God. God chose us. And if he chose you, that means a lot about God for you. Because a lot of people don't take it for granted. And this, and in so many words, he said, hey, without God, you are a stranger to the Christianity faith. You are a foreigner. You are somewhat like an alien, so to speak. Because you didn't have this Christianity in your life. You were no longer you was not in the kingdom of God. And I'm seeing people that's exemplifying that same lifestyle in the church. And it's getting to be dangerous because I'm seeing other people imitating it. I turn on the TV and you see a person in the show, they're cussing on this show, but next thing you know, they have a play in it. They're a preacher in the play. And so many people think this is cute. That's not cute. Playing a preacher and then playing a sinner at the same time, it's not good. You have to remember who you are. Why do you have to remember who you are? Because God has chosen you to be a good soldier. He has chosen you to do good works that glorifies him. And many of us, our works do not show the work of Christ in our life. We don't know him because we don't spend the time in Sunday school, Bible study, service. We go to church. We might even pay our tithes. But we don't put the time in that God is requiring of us to make a change in our life. But we are no longer foreigners because Jesus Christ, because when we accepted Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, he brought us into the kingdom of God. There's no other way of getting in there. You can't get in there because you go to church, because your mama a preacher, your daddy a preacher, this or that, or you do that in the church. That will not get you in the kingdom of heaven. You have to come in through the door, and Jesus Christ is that door. And the Bible says you have been bought with the price. That price was the blood of Jesus Christ at Calvary cross. He gave his life that we might have life and have that life more abundantly. He made the ultimate sacrifice because there's no more shedding blood of a bullock or a lamb. It's the blood of Christ that cleanses us from all sins and washes us whiter than snow. And that blood is not a blood that you can take for granted, because that blood costs something. That blood costs Jesus to take the punishment that was rightly due to us and to take it upon himself and be the propitiation for our sin. That's why we got to remember who we are. We're a child of God. And we have to walk that way. We have to live that way. We have to talk that way. We have to present ourselves unto God daily. And so many people think because they've been doing something so long that now it's no longer a sacrifice. It's just something they do now. But we have to sacrifice our body to Christ every day. Why? Because we have to present this body a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God. He said, which is our reasonable service. That's the least thing we can do. And then we can get to the rest of the stuff. But we first have to present this body to Christ. And I'm finding out that many people don't know who they are. And Christ is telling us to remember who we are. You're a child of the King. You're God's property. You don't belong to yourself no more. You can't do it. Just because you've grown and big now and can do what you want to do, that does not work in the kingdom of God. There's a responsibility that we have to uphold in the kingdom of God. And that responsibility is living holy and righteous before God. Sure, we're going to mess up. God knew that. He said, if by chance ye fall, ye have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ. He know we were going to mess up. Because see, guess what? We're not God. We're trying to be the son, in the image of the Son of God, that we might what make our home in heaven with him. But there's this flesh. And the flesh is robbing many of us, because I see a lot of people, they're singing in the choir, but... You go to the cookout, I said, if I say that, what you got right there? Oh, this ain't going to hurt me, man. I said, man, why do you want that? I said, you got something in you that's greater than any of that alcohol. Them cigarettes you smoke, you got something greater than you. You have the power of God, the Spirit of God, the dunamis power, the Holy Ghost power of God. If you have that in you, you can resist it. He said, resist the devil and he will flee. Draw nigh unto God and he will draw nigh unto you. You have to remember who you are. You've been bought with a price. And you have a responsibility to live up to that what God has called you to be, that others might know that there is help for each and every one of us. We are iron sharpening iron. When we come together, we're supposed to sharpen one another, not confound ourselves to look like one another. Because just looking like one another is not good. You can look like you're a Christian all you want, but that won't get you in heaven. You have to live a certain way. So as I was going through getting upset about stuff I seen in preacher kids, I said, wow. Somebody said, well, you're a preacher. You got kids. Your kids do stuff too. I said, yes, they do. He said, they don't live in my house. He said, train up a child in the way that he shall go. And when he is old, he will not depart away. God knew we were going to have. That's why that gray area is there. Because while you got breath in your body, you better get it right. Because after death comes the judgment. We have to remember who we are. Because God has brought us into the body of Christ through Jesus. That in the kingdom of God through Jesus, that we would what? Produce fruits of righteousness. We are a holy nation. We're a royal priesthood. We're a peculiar people. And that lifestyle has to shine. See, one thing I can tell you, you can't hide the light of Christ in your life. I don't care where you go. You can go over there where they messing up and they're going to get out your way. They say, because you know, something ain't right about that person. I don't want to be around them because there's something ain't right. Because guess what? The light of Christ is going to illuminate. It's going to expose their deeds and they ain't going to like that. I'm telling you, I tried it one day. I tried to go back into a spot where I used to go. And I said, I'm just going to sit back here in the corner. That was a while back now. I'm going to sit back in the corner. I ain't going to even mess with nobody. The girl come in. Hey, Deacon John. I said, girl, what are you talking about? I ain't no deacon. She said, yes, you are. You're going to church now. Right up in the club. Just put me on the spot. See, once the light of Christ in, you can't hide. It can't be extinguished. It's going to stick out like a sore thumb. Because guess why? It's for the use of God. And no matter where you go, that light's going to shine. You can't extinguish it. That's why you got to remember who you are, because everybody going to know. Because I'll go to places, people say, oh, man, here come that dude, man. We don't be, he don't drink. He don't smoke. He don't cut. Why he even come around here? No, I don't just go in. I don't go in clubs anymore or none of that. But there are family gatherings I go to. They, oh, here come John, man. Hide, hide. Here come John. I say, I appreciate you hiding from the Lord, but you ain't hiding from me either, because I know what you're doing. Remember, I used to do this with y'all. But I'm not too big that I can't come around you and show you that I'm a new creature in Christ Jesus. Old things are passed away. Behold, I've become new. And now I have to remember who I am, because I cannot get caught up and let that stuff bring me to the bondage of the captivity of that stuff anymore. No, I'm not going to go mess with something that I'm weak in, because that's danger. A man is weak with women, shouldn't hang around women. A man is weak in drinking, shouldn't hang around drinking. You have to remember who you are. You have to separate yourself. And remembering who you are, God always provide a way of an escape. He say, for there is no such temptation known common unto man, that God is not faithful, but will with that temptation make a way of an escape that ye may bear it. You already know you got a way of an escape. It's up to you to make that, take that escape. You have to remember, wait a minute. You go somewhere and it's not what God is doing, he's already providing your way of an escape. I go to certain accounts. I'm a technician for Coca-Cola. I go to certain accounts and the people start cussing me. I say, excuse me. I'll be right back. They say, where are you going? I said, profanity is not a language that I'm going to tolerate anymore. I said, because I'm a child of God. Now, it's a better language than we can talk. Now, I know you upset your equipment is broke, but cussing me out not going to fix it. And I said, that lets me know that you have no respect for a person, because I don't know you and you don't know, but you cussing me out because a piece of equipment not working. And I said, I'm not trying to be smart or funny, but that's my way of an escape. And I took it because guess what? Anger was building up in me. The Bible said, be angry and sin not. So guess what? I couldn't get angry at that man. I got angry at the devil. I said, you know what, devil? I went outside, kicked rocks and everything. Because I said, I got to take it out on the devil. I can't take it out on that man. And then when I came back in, I said, sir, forgive me. But what is it that I can do for you, sir, that I can correct the problem for you? You can fix that piece of junk. I said, yes, sir. And I got over there and started working. But you got to take the way of an escape that God provide for you. You got to remember who you are. If you fight the battle, Christ no longer has the opportunity to fight it for you. You have to fight let the Lord fight the battle, because guess what? Victory belongs to who? Him. And because if you let the Lord fight the battle, the victory will be yours as well. Because you have remembered who you was. You say, you know what? I'm not strong enough to fight this battle. I can't take this. You know, when you get tired of something, you give it to the Lord, he's going to take it. And he's going to throw it in a sea of forgetfulness. And he's going to wash it whiter than snow. And guess what? You have a praise in your heart. You can lift your head up and say, Lord, I thank you for getting me out of that tough situation that I had no control over. But you stepped in and made a way out of no way, because I remembered who I was. I was your child and you were my father. And now I can do what you asked me to do. And so many times, we get caught up in anger, disappointment. When somebody disappoints you, you can't take it out on them. Children will disappoint you on a regular basis. My grandson disappointed me the other day. He's 9 years old. He played football. And I kept coming to God. I said, wait a minute, hold on, something wrong here. I said, you know what? I'm going to find out what's wrong. I said, Kenny, what's wrong? I said, man, you ain't playing defense, man. Why you don't play defense no more? They don't ever ask me. I said, no, man. I said, you play offense and defense. You played the whole game, every game, till this year. And I'm saying, something ain't right, man. What's wrong? Nothing ain't wrong, Pop. I'm just, you know, I'm a runner. I said, I know you play runner back. I said, I know you play a little receiver. And I said, but you used to play safety in the ends. What's going on? Oh, well, yeah, that sucks. Okay. So yesterday I went to the coaches. I said, Coach, I need to ask you a question. What is wrong with Kenny playing defense? He said, have you looked at the tapes? I said, no, I ain't looked at the tapes. He said, man, your grandson stand there and look at the play. And when the man come running, he'll run beside the man instead of tackling him. I said, that ain't my grandson. I said, I know that ain't my grandson because I watched this boy play ball for 4 years. I said, somebody done broke this young boy's spirit out here. And I said, it's one of these coaches done broke his spirit. Ain't no player broke his spirit. The coaches broke his spirit because I noticed how they yell and holler at him, and he don't like that. If you yell and holler at him, he shuts down. I'm the same way. You yell and holler at me, I shut down. Because guess what? I don't know nothing else to do no more because I'm not going to get into a physical altercation with nobody. But I said, these coaches then broke my little man's spirit because he's a great little player. And I said, Kenny, now you got to break their spirit. You go and tell them, okay, Coach, what a position on defense can I play now that I can work out this? He don't want no parts of it. I said, Kenny, you're not scared of the players. You're scared of your coach. Why? Because they talked down to him. And see, I said, Kenny, you got to remember who you are, little fella. You're a person that wants to play this sport. And you don't like standing on the sideline. But when you became comfortable at standing on the sideline, something wrong. The Bible says, except ye bind the strong man, you can't spoil that person's good. As a Christian, except you bind Christ, you can't bind Christ. But when a person has broken you as a Christian, I'm not talking about from without, from within. Because without, they can't do nothing to you. But a person that's real close to you in church or home or so forth, start tearing you down, belittling you as a Christian. Don't you give up on God. Remember who you are. Remember what it cost for you to become a Christian. What God laid on the line for you. You are a stranger to him. But when you accepted Jesus Christ, he adopted you into his body and gave you full rights that you can do just as Israel did. God's elect. But so many people have let people chalk them down and they don't remember who they are. You're a child of God. Don't let nobody tell you nothing else. Because when somebody else can come and tell you that you're not saved, and you know you're saved, the Spirit of God should rise up in you. No, you don't get into a physical altercation with them. You might get into a song that said, I am redeemed, bought with a price. Start singing to yourself. Jesus has changed my whole life. You start singing that song next thing you know, man. Just like my brother said, I said, I thank God he was singing today because guess what? It put me in a place where I was satisfied with God. And I said, y'all just, the songs. And see, I ain't talking about some of this stuff they singing today on the radio. I don't know what that stuff is. They take the world beat and put Jesus' name in it and it's all wrong. You can't fool God's elect. But I know that brother right there sings from the heart. And he's motivated by what God has put within him. And I said, you know, I'm not a singer. I try to sing, but I'm not a singer. But that's a singer. And I said, thank you, Lord. I needed a song to bring me into where I need to be, to remind me who I was and why I am what I am. I am what I am because Jesus Christ bought me back on Calvary's cross. He gave up his life to give me this life that I can produce fruits of righteousness, peace, joy in the Holy Ghost, the kingdom of God. So I'm just trying to encourage somebody. Remember who you are. You've been bought with a price. You don't belong to yourself no more. You can't do what everybody else do. Because guess what? God ain't judging them for what you do. He's judging you for what you do. And he's judging you by his word. He's not judging you by what nobody said. or what anybody can think about you. He's judging you by what you've done. And his word is a lamp unto your feet and a light unto your path. And that's what you do as your steps are ordered in the Lord. When God says step to the right, you step to the right. When God says step to the left, you step to the left. When God says stand still and watch my salvation, you stand still and watch it. Let God fight that battle. He's just trying to remember, show you that he's your God. And no good thing will he hold back from them that will walk uprightly before him. If you can't remember that, he said he's left a comforter for you to bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever he said unto you. If it's in you, the Holy Spirit is going to bring it to your remembrance that you have to walk that straight and narrow path that leadeth unto everlasting. You have to remember who you are. And remembering who you are, God will get the glory and the praise out of your living, and he will begin to exalt you in an awesome way. As a child of his king, he'll open doors that no man can shut, and he'll shut doors that no man can open. And he's able to produce fruits of righteousness in each and every one of us. But we have to remember who we are. We're a child of God. We're not a stranger anymore. We're not on the outside anymore. We're on the inside now. We're walking in victory, children of destiny. We live for his will because God is our shield. We're children of destiny. Our destiny is heaven, not earth. Because so many people worry about this earthly realm. We need to set our affections above where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God, making intercession for us that we what can live a life of righteousness, peace, joy in the Holy, that we can be a light to one another. So all I wanted to do is just tell us, remember who you are. You're going to be up against some challenges, but remember who you are. God is your king, and you are his workmanship, created unto good works. You are put on this earth for God's use, not for man's use, for God's use. God created us in his image, and because he created us in his image, that means that we were his from the beginning. This is not our home. We didn't come from here. But God reached down in the dust of the earth and he formed man and he breathed a breath of life in his nostrils and man became a living being. God created us. And from what we came from, we have to go back to. You want to get back to where you belong. That middle petition has been tore down. We can go up to him right away. Get down on your knees and begin to pray to the Father. Through Jesus Christ, though. Amen. Remember who you are. I just wanted to touch on some areas. I'm not trying to put a whole sermon together because I said I will be up here for 3 hours. But I know that time is important when you're speaking out of the Word of God. Too much time, you lose people. So you not got to allow the Lord to do what he has to do and you get out the way. So I'm going to get out the way. But I thank God for each and every one that's here. And I want you to remember who you are in Christ. You've been bought with a price. You don't longer belong to yourself. When something upsets you, you got to go to God for that. Stop running to so-and-so. Oh, man, I need it. No. God said, I'm a jealous God. I must be first. You got to go to him, Lord. And you can go in your secret closet and tell God anything. Lord, I can't. What's your name is getting on my nerve, God. And God's going to show you your nerve. You, your nerve. You, your biggest, greatest enemy. He's going to show you, mate, most of the time, we the problem. He said, now, humble yourself. And walk in a low and meek state. Let me fight that battle. That's what we got to do. We got to remember who we are. Amen. Amen. Amen.